May I invite you to turn with me during this second address tonight to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 21, reading the short parable of the two sons from verse 28 to verse 31. And while you're finding the place, may I remind you that if you're reading from the New English Bible, the reference to these two sons is in the reverse order of the Authorized Version and the RSV. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28, reading from the Revised Standard Version. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward he repented and went. And he went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir," but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. The first was the one who said, "I will not," but afterward repented and went. I'm sure I carry everybody with me who is within the sound of my voice when I say that it is one thing to acknowledge Christ as Lord in theory and in principle. It's another thing to accept his lordship and to live by it in daily life. And no one, I feel, can have listened to the first address this evening, for which we thank God and his servant, without being aware that the issue of this hour, this meeting, is an issue of obedience. Son, go, work today. Now, I have no doubt that for some of us this is a very old issue. It's remained for long years unresolved. It's been a controversy between you and God that's gone on for a long time. Again and again God has spoken, making his will and his purpose abundantly clear, only to receive your reply, "I will not." And tonight he comes again at the end of this lovely day, seeking your repentance and the expression of it in obedience. For some, this is a very old issue. It's gone on far too long. Tonight, God asks you to settle it. For others, on the contrary, this is quite a new issue. God has been speaking to you during the last few days, or even the last half hour. And in your heart, you long to do his will. And yet, something holds you back. Tonight, God waits on patiently for your obedience. Son, daughter, go, work today. Let me just remind you of the context a little, that we may get the real strength of this passage so far as we're able. You will know that Christ is speaking to the Pharisees, who had challenged his authority after the cursing of the barren fig tree on the Monday morning of Holy Week. In three separate parables, Christ draws a contrast between the Pharisees and the tax gatherers and the harlots. And in this, the first of the three parables, he does so by reference to their attitude to John the Baptist. In the matter of moral righteousness, the Pharisees had always professed much, They were like the son in the parable who said, "Oh yes, I go. That's just up my street. I live for that." And yet, they had not gone. While the tax gatherers and the harlots would have nothing to do with righteousness, they said, "Oh no, thank you. I won't." But when John came, preaching the God-given way to righteousness, the tax gatherers and the harlots repented and went. While the Pharisees, in spite of all their profession, did not. So in this very short parable, Christ draws the distinction between the son who said, "I will not," but later repented and went, and the son who said, "I go, sir," but he did not go. The first refused, but later repented. The second professed, but never performed. Jesus Christ asked the Pharisees, "Which of the two did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first," and they were right. Now I want to speak directly and lovingly to that first man tonight. He's here. He's in the Erskine Street tent. He's in many, if not all, of the relays. I want to talk with you tonight, if I may. And if others do a little eavesdropping and listen in, it may be that will also be to our total good. Where are you? The man who's been saying, "No, I won't." And tonight, already, you're beginning to repent. You and God are not agreed. God has made his will plain to you over some issue or other in your life, some simple matter of obedience, or some great matter of discipleship, or some great long matter of future history. God has spoken clearly and unmistakably, and up to now, "I will not." May I say tonight so lovingly that you may well be standing at this very moment at the parting of the ways for your whole life. Like the rain that descends on the topmost hills, the issues of tonight may flow down into the ocean of God's perfect will, or trickle away to join the torrents of disillusionment and despair. A whole life's history may hang on this next half hour for you. I beg you, therefore, to hear me patiently, quietly, prayerfully, as I look again at this man who said, "I will not." But afterward, repented and went. Keeping well within the scope of the few verses I read, I want you to notice three things. First, he had heard his father's voice. That morning when he rose from his bed and prepared himself for the day, his father arrived in his presence and he said, "Son, go to the vineyard today." It was his father's voice he heard that morning. A voice he knew so well. Had he suddenly been bereft of his parents, he would often have longed for the sound of father's voice. But while father's voice was still with him, He chose to reject its call and its message. The voice that speaks tonight within your memory, within your conscience, within your mind and heart right now is your Father's voice. I suggest that when he heard his Father's voice, he made two mistakes. First, he forgot the relationship. Son. Son. The ties of blood and kinship were still present, but for a while they had lost their meaning. Son. Why, he owed his very life to his father. And had he forgotten all the sacrifices made by father and mother since the day of his birth? Surely it was base ingratitude to say, I won't. He forgot the relationship. Have you? The voice you have heard is your father's voice. So lovingly, so frequently, so firmly, he has spoken. Are you not his child? To what length he has gone to bring you thus far on your way? Have you forgotten the relationship? Some of you will know that delightful little story of the converted Indian who, when asked by a white man why he did so much for Jesus Christ, collected a pile of dead, dry leaves and made them into a circle. And then he took a live worm and dropped the worm in the center of the circle. Then he set the leaves on fire. Then he rescued the worm. That's why I do so much for Jesus. He said, have you forgotten what you owe and who you are? And whence you came, and who gave you birth, and in what family you live. He forgot the relationship. And then he renounced the ownership. Dr. Plummer, in his commentary on St. Matthew, tells us that the word son here is not so much an expression of affection as a claim to obedience. A father has a right to dispose of his child's labor. And this is, of course, precisely the teaching of the New Testament in relation to every child of God. Romans 6:18 reads, being made free from sin, you became servants to God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, you're not your own. You have been bought and paid for. And every converted man who says, I will not, to the known will of God, not only forgets the relationship, but he renounces the ownership. The son was his father's child. The son was in the business with his father and was part of the business set up. He was his father's assistant and servant. But that morning he said, no. No, I won't. I won't. But you see, my friend, I belong to Jesus. 'Twas a happy day when his blood most precious washed my sins away, when his Holy Spirit changed my heart of stone, set his love upon me, sealed me for his own. I'm his child. I'm all his. He had heard his father's voice. Have you? Have you? Well, then as I continue to gaze at this brief parable, I discover he had learned his father's will. Son, go work in the vineyard. When the father approached his son that day, it was not to exercise a tyrannical authority, but to lead him to a worthwhile purpose. Didn't only want the son, but he wanted the son's service. He had a plan for the son's day. The best plan father could devise for the day, for the son. Something for him to do, and a place in which to do it. But so long as he refused, he failed to enter that purpose. Oh, my friend, your father has a purpose. Don't you think he knows best? Don't you think it's born in a heart of love and worked out in a mind of care and expressed in a voice of earnest entreaty? Son, today. He'd heard his father's voice and he'd learnt his father's will. May I ask you, is there something you know your father wants you to be, to do? To say, to give, to think, to pray. But although the son knew his father's will, he didn't love his father. The disobedient child never does. Our Lord said, according to John 14:15, if ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. And John, catching up the same truth in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 3, writes, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. When the Reverend John Stott comments on that particular verse 3, he writes as follows. Love of God, he writes, is not an emotional experience so much as a moral obedience. When the son said, I will not, he didn't love his father. Do you want to tell me tonight? Do I dare to tell you tonight that I love my heavenly father, but I will not do his will? Remember that lovely scene away back in Old Testament history, where according to the provisions of the Hebrew economy, a man having served his master for 6 years could go out free. But Exodus 21 tells us of a man who'd served his master for 6 years, and when the seventh year came, when he could go out free for nothing, he said, I love him far too much to disappear from this place. I love my master. I will not go out free. Do I love my father like the Hebrew slave loved his master? The son didn't love his father that day. And I think too it's right to say that he didn't trust his father that day. Had he done so, he would have entered upon the Father's purpose for him right away. For faith, trust, is always obedience. And disobedience is never a work of faith, but an activity of unbelief. Hebrews 11 tells the tale so splendidly and with such illuminating grace and power. By faith Noah, warned of God, built an ark. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out, went out. By faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The man who trusts God always obeys God. And when he doesn't obey, he doesn't trust. Do you think he's planning some miserable thing for you? Do you think he's trying to dash you down till your life is ruined? Do you think that thing is on your conscience at the moment that he expects you to do is to be done for your harm? God so loved that he gave. He who loved me enough to die for me loved me enough to keep me day by day. He heard his Father's voice, and he learned his Father's will. Have you? Have you? Do you really love him? Tell me, can't you trust him? Son. Son. Son, today. Well, I can't help discerning a third thing. He'd heard his Father's voice, and he learned his Father's will. He'd also seen his Father's patience. Son, today. Afterward, he repented. Just how long the Father waited for his Son's obedience, we do not know. Was it an hour? Could it be a whole day? Or was it many a day? We don't know. We're not told. But all the time the boy was saying, I will not. The father's patience persisted, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And after he'd waited, the son repented. How long has God been waiting for you to bring the obedience his love and purpose have asked? How long? I suggested in the opening few minutes of this address that for some he's waited a long, long time. For others, not so long. But however long he's waited, it's too long. And ought not to be a moment longer. And this son lived in the presence of his father's patience till he repented and went. And all that time, however short, however long, the work remained undone in the vineyard. The pruning wasn't done. The thorns were not checked, the hedge was not repaired, and the fruit rotting on the branches, because neither son would go. What a lot remains undone, because Jesus is only your Lord in theory and not in fact. The Lordship of Christ is not established by the singing of a hymn. It's established by the obedience of a life. God has made him Lord in the glory. And God makes him Lord on earth through the lives that obey him. The work remained undone in the vineyard that day. For one son said he would go and didn't. And the other said he wouldn't. Though later he repented. While the work remained undone, there was no one else to do it. And I believe that there is something God is asking of you that only you can do. And that is why he's asking you. He wouldn't have asked you if he could have found somebody else. But there's something for you to do that only you can do. And it remains undone until you repent and go. What about that letter he told you to write? It's only you can write it. Is it written yet? What about that apology he asked you to make? Only you can make it. Is it made yet? What about that money he asked you to give? It's your money. Only you can give it. Is it given yet? What about that word he asked you to speak? Is it spoken yet? What about that place to which he asked you to go? Have you been yet? What about that task, close at hand or far away, he offered? Have you taken it yet? God works through obedient sons and daughters. Sons today. Today. He'd heard his father's voice. So have I. He had learned his father's will. So have I. He had seen his father's patience. So have I. Have you? Have you? Have you? How can you still say, I will not? Three tragic words. Strike out the third. And by your even belated obedience, turn that tragic refusal into a triumphant response. He's your father. Let us pray. In the remaining moments of this meeting, while all relays are gathered with us up to the benediction, we shall be perfectly still and quiet in God's presence. Let no one disturb the meeting. And as in the silence, we bow before our Father as children. Are there not those all over this vast gathering across our country who will cross out the last of those three tragic words? And in heart and mind and will and purpose and full intention, say to God, I will. It may only concern a small matter, comparatively speaking, but disobedience is never small in its effect. that whether it be a small matter that can be cleared up tonight, or a matter which will take years to bring to full fruition, let God have your I will tonight. And thus, and only thus, crown him Lord of all. After the benediction is pronounced, we shall be still before God for a moment, and then the company will disperse. If you wish to remain for quiet prayer, would you please go to the outskirts of the tent, where there is ample room for you? If you feel you would like help, further counsel and prayer and help, come and sit in one of the center blocks of this tent, or the Erskine Street tent, or where you can be helped in your relay center. Those will be ready to come and share with you whatever is your problem, whatever Scripture has to say to it. Teach us, good Lord, to love thee as thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing that we do thy will. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us all this night and always. Amen.